And we do welcome you back, everybody. I'm Alec Green, and for Harold Fisher tonight on Insight Tonight, we've gathered our reporters roundtable to take us deeper inside some of the issues in the news this week, from President Trump's threats to cut top security clearances to D.C. crime highlighted by a 10-year-old's funeral today. And then this Georgia lawmaker resigning after racist comments made in a Showtime skit.
In America, there is one forbidden word. It is the N-word. Now, I am going to be the terrorist. You have 3 seconds to attract attention. Go!
And we bleeped out, obviously, the N-word being said. Our panel tonight, Keith Alexander, Washington Post crime and courts reporter joining us in the studio, and a Howard University graduate just like me. Hamil Harris, a reporter with the Afro newspaper, along with the Informer and the City Paper. Hamil, he works for everybody, I tell you. And as always, we do invite our listeners to join this conversation. You can call us right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We do want to hear your point of view as we take a deeper look inside some of the issues making news this week, including a possible new direction for Prince George's County schools. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Reporters Roundtable.
Good to be here, Mo. Thank
Glad
you.
To be here.
We are happy to have you here, and we start off with a very sad day in the District of Columbia. A 10-year-old took a horse-drawn carriage through her northeast neighborhood to her final resting place today. We're talking about Micaiah Wilson, who was laid to rest today. Hundreds lined the streets as her horse-drawn carriage went by. And I was struck by the message inside that church service today. One of the preachers who took to the podium saying, man up, man up, calling for people to speak up. You know who did this.
That's correct, Moore. You know, I spoke to some of the detectives who are working on this case and various individuals. First of all, you know, Chief Newsom, Peter Newsom, was actually at the service as well, and along with other detectives. The belief is that this was a neighborhood beef. And Micaiah Wilson, we can't say her name enough, Micaiah Wilson, innocent
sweet
bystander.
Sweet-faced little girl.
These four guys jumped off this in Infinity and just opened fire, came with masks, a stolen car, stolen paper tags, and armed for battle. What the concern is, among many people, is that no one's going to come forward who might know something. And also, there might be some street justice involved, meaning instead of turning these individuals in so that the police can arrest them, individuals who know or who think they know might be involved are going to handle themselves, which means more gunshed, more gunfire, and more blood.
And that's the problem. The very day that she was gunned down, I was on Sheriff Road with a group of young people doing a piece for City Paper on this whole issue. They were complaining about the police roughing them up and the whole issue, but there was such a sense of lawlessness. I sat in a cloud of marijuana, and they said, well, it's legal. We can sell this stuff. But the thing about it, even the barbershop that, you know, they were complaining about, nobody's in there because the streets are out of control. And again, yes, we had the carriage. We had the somber ceremonies. But we have seen this over and over again. And when do we as a community, when do the parents say, you know, get your behind off the street. You're not doing anything because everybody knows who's beefing with who. I don't understand what's going to change.
I want to read this. This was a quote from Mike D'Angelo, Micaiah's uncle. This is what he said right after this baby girl was shot dead. These cowards need to be held accountable for their actions, because when you sign up for the streets, this is what happens. They come with certain rules and guidelines. He went on to say, learn the rules and the guidelines of the streets. If you get out here, you see kids, you see parents, you see mothers out here, back a U-turn and come back if that's what you got in your heart to do.
And that's what's changed. And when you talk to people who've been in the system, who've been in the streets, what has changed is that young people today who are part of the game don't care. Collateral damage is just that. It's collateral damage. We're going to take care of anyone and everyone who is involved.
Yeah, as you could see from the, many of us saw that video captured on the crime video where they just jumped out and they just sprayed and sprayed and sprayed those bullets, at random.
The good thing is that they did find the car. They found the Infiniti in Temple Hills. Mm-hmm. And they're dusting it. It's going to be about DNA.
Yeah.
If no one from the neighborhood is going to come forward out of fear or whatever, then hopefully some DNA will be found to help link to one of these shooters might be.
Yeah, and I want our listeners to call in and give us their thoughts on this, because at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, because we keep hearing these pleas over and over again from police, and we keep hearing the cries from these parents, from the loved ones who are losing their sons and daughters in the streets. And then we talk about this code of not snitching.
Mm-hmm.
What will it take, Camille? Like you just said. What will it take?
It's amazing, because just a week before, we were all at the community center in Deanwood, and they were talking about stop and frisk and how the police have been abusive.
We're just talking about it.
And I'm down there 2 days from a heart attack, getting out of the hospital, trying to figure it out myself. And I'm like, I told Vince Gray, we've been down this road before, but it's so much lawlessness.
Let me hear Michael calling in from District Heights. Michael, what do you want to say?
I would say that In order to take and come back to problem, we first have to identify what the problem is. Where is the problem? Is the problem in the streets per se? And if so, how did the problem get there? What did we do to fail our youth or our teenagers or our children? What did we do? The role, it comes back to the home, regardless of how you may see it. If you allow something to take place and you say, okay, well, I don't want to get involved for whatever reasons, what about when it took a village to raise children? I hear so many people talking about what could have been done or what should have been done, but where are you when it comes to the forefront? And I like to take and deviate just for a moment. We put a lot of emphasis on police officers killing black males, unarmed males and so forth, and we take to the streets and we march about this. But when it hits our neighborhoods and we kill our own, there is no marching there. There's a lot of
pause you for a second, Michael. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, first of all, there were marches. There have been marches against what happened to young Micaiah, and marches do exist, and people have been out there in the streets saying, "Look, say something, do something. This is our community." And I hear what he's saying. What he's saying is that there seems to be much more anger involved when an officer kills an unarmed individual. African-American. That's what he's saying. And I hear that. But what the whole Black Lives Matter movement came about was that these officers are trained. These officers are paid by our taxes. And oftentimes these officers are not held accountable for their actions. That's why there was more of a cry out, if you will,
right,
when officers are killing unarmed individuals.
But as a community, we want the shooters, the killers, to be held accountable.
Of course, we would want
bad cops to be held
exactly,
accountable.
Thank you
so much, Michael, for your viewpoint. 319-7810, the area code 202-319-7810. That's the phone number to call to jump in on this conversation. I want to move on, but I want to take one more call. I want to move on to a different topic. I want to take one more call. Hi there. I don't know what your name is. Is it Damo? Hello?
Yes, it's Damo.
Hey, what do you want to say?
And this, the action that took place with that little girl, the guys who did it, man, like the uncle said, they wasn't living up to the code. Because if you saw your mark, your so-called mark, you just want to go at your mark. If you see some senseless people out there, like children, grandmothers, mothers, females, indifferent, you're supposed to stop what you're doing, make a U-turn, and start over again, if you're a part of street code. These youngers out here right now, man, they live up to a wrong code, man. And whoever did it need to get their excuse, my ASS court, try to convict it, and dealt with, period. They need to let the court system do it before somebody else do it, because the mother of the young lady, she's well known. She's a very known hairstylist in the District of Columbia. And the guys who did it, they're going to get what's coming to them. So I hope that the District of Columbia police precinct get there before the street does.
All right, Domo, thank you so much.
Let me just throw something real quick that happened today. Last year, a young 17-year-old Wilson High School student, Jamira Sidnor, was sitting in a car, and a gunfire went off, and this young girl sitting in a car about to go to college was struck in the head. The two individuals who were arrested were just indicted today for first-degree murder in her death. Allegedly, one of the shooters told another guy he didn't feel sorry for her because, quote, she got in the way.
Yeah, that's just that she backs got up the in point the way. You were making.
That's what they're saying. These kids,
that collateral damage. They
get in the way.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed how there's no sense of regard, shame for life, and it's no end to this.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. Sonia, calling in from the district, what do you want to say?
I would like to say they need to put the problem back to the parents. Stop locking parents up or getting on parents for correcting their kids. Parents are now scared to say anything to their children due to the fact that the government is telling them they can't correct their child. When I grew up, we were corrected. So I grew up right. And putting church back in.
All right.
Don't want to say nothing about the Lord or God or anything. And that's why the kids now are doing what they want to do.
Thank you, Sonia. I want to get in another caller. Thank you for your comments. 202-319-7810. Mike, calling in. What do you want to say? Mike, are you there? Okay, Mike, we lost you. Call us back. 202-319-7810. Want to move on to Prince George's County Schools, a new acting CEO named this week, and she is not a stranger to the county. Monica Goldson knows the county. She's from the county. She is has been in the system for a very long time. What do we want to say about what she said right away? She wants to basically move the school system in a different direction. The school system plagued by scandal after scandal, with Kevin Maxwell leaving, and his exit was just as scandalous as, you know, his tenure inside Prince George's
with an $800,000 parachute.
But again, we changed superintendents like we changed boats on the Titanic or whatever. But the bottom line is that Kevin Maxwell was a principal. They came up through the ranks, went to Anne Arundel County, became a star. They brought him back, and here we go again.
He taught in Prince George's County. His children went to Prince George's schools.
So again, you know, Dr. Goldson. Everybody knows Dr. Monica Goldson. She's been around too. Again, I don't know the answer to this question, but we keep changing the top. But the infrastructure, the middle managers, the principals, assistant principals, the same folks. Do you see the crime report of how many school officials are going to jail for messing with little kids and stuff? It's horrible. It's horrible. How about that responsibility?
I want to know what the parents are saying. The parents, many of the parents, of course, have fled the public schools. They were putting their kids in private schools, struggling to pay for it because they just can't run the risk of the educational system in Prince George's School. There's no faith there.
And also what that's also affecting is also the houses, the how much these houses are being worth, right, in terms of how good a school system is. Also translates to how much I'm able to sell my home for, how much is being designed for. So all of that comes into place. But Prince George's has had what? They've had this. They lost their Head Start program. They've had these questions about graduation rates.
Right.
They have had
grade tampering. The sex assaults of
their assistants and teachers.
And on and
on.
And
Prince George's is under a lot. So I think what's going to happen, this is, you know, Dr. Goldson is in there for an interim basis.
Yeah, she's the acting.
It'll be interesting to see what happens once the new county executive takes on.
Because the county executive has the power to appoint.
Appoint. Yeah. And there are rumors circulating that there are some names already out there as to who's being looked at as the full-time.
Well, come on, Keith, give me what you got. I want to know what you got.
But again, your sources may be some of my sources.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is, remember, the teachers union was against Angela Alsobrooks in this election.
Alsobrooks is the Democratic nominee. I know. Which also means she's going to be. You
need that teachers union.
All right.
You need the people on the front line, the teachers, the low-level administrators, to work with them as a team.
We're not going to stop this discussion. I want to squeeze in Rita calling in from D.C. Rita, what did you want to comment on?
My comment was, it was a young lady that just called in to say that we need to put the parents, make them more responsible for the child actions. But you know what it is? It's not even about that. My thing is, it's about babies raising babies. When we was coming up in our generation, our mothers was well respected. You know, we had grandparents and stuff like that. And then,
okay, Rita, I'm hearing some interference, but I got what you're saying. We have to take a short break. Stay with us on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're still taking your calls. You'll still be able to hear the program at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to be right back on Sirius. Our listeners on WHUR now welcoming the original Quiet Storm. Sitting in for Jeff Brown, Angela Stribling.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
All right, and thank you for staying with us here on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Daily Drums Insight segment. I'm Alec Green, sitting in tonight for Harold Fisher. We have our distinguished longtime journalists in the D.C. area, Keith Alexander, Washington Post crime and courts reporter Hamil Harris, reporter with the Afro Informer and City Paper newspapers, joining us in the studio. And we invite our listeners, as always, to join in this conversation at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I've got Cynthia, if I can push the button right. Cynthia is here, calling in from Prince George's County or Maryland. Cynthia, what do you want to say?
Hi, Howard County. How are you? I used to live in Upper Marlboro and in Bowie. I have two kids. One of them I sent to private, one of them I put in public. And I actually ended up leaving Prince George's County and moving to Howard County specifically for educational reasons.
Right.
As a parent and as a professional, the leadership in Howard County, it is a cultural problem. They do not focus on what is most important, which is the children. So we've had people come in focused on TAG and focused on initiatives and tech.
Are you saying, wait a minute, I think we misheard you. Are you saying the leadership in Prince George's County didn't focus on children?
County needs to specifically focus on educating children.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that, my son came out of what was considered a TAG school as an elementary schooler. And the difference between where we live now and the education that he got there, he knew a bunch of subjects an inch deep.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to a different county, they got into this theory. And this is like the elementary school level. Mm-hmm. They taught them on a deeper level to be able to analyze, as opposed to our experience, which was read, recite, and repeat.
Gotcha.
Very little critical thinking, very little opportunity for even exploration. It was very rigid. And this is, you know, after
so, Cynthia,
two kids coming up.
Quick question for you. So who's at fault? Who do you blame for that?
Honestly, the teachers need to be allowed to teach. She has some great teachers, but the curriculum is so rigid and they're so testing focused and so worried about what they can, you know, bragging about. Our kids know this, our kids know that. Let the children actually take a moment to learn and explore.
I got you. Thank you, Cynthia, for that insight.
As a teacher myself, and Morgan, one of the biggest problems, I heard her say the word worry. The teachers are so worried about that test, teaching to the test.
And they have to be because they're held accountable to that.
And that's part of the bigger problem. But you remember at one time, the school was the epicenter of the community, as well as the church, as well as the business, officer friendly, and it was the community. You know, we love graduations because we all came together. You have such a breakdown in community now, and institutional breakdowns. The poor pressures on the school.
Are you seeing any areas where there is a return to what many say worked, like what you just talked about? Are you seeing that in your reporting? You know, when you're out there beating the streets, are you seeing anything that gives you some hope that there is a turnaround possible?
I mean, there are pockets. For example, I was down in Upper Marlboro this past weekend where they had the Bill Pickett Rodeo, and a lot of the farmers came out and were teaching young people about horses, not just to ride, but horsemanship. a lot of things like that, and how they, and most of these people have government jobs, high level security clearances, yeah, but they own acres of land.
Yeah.
And the kids were coming out of District Heights, Fairmont Heights, but they, it was a whole nother experience because they saw Black prosperity. They saw inspiration. Mm-hmm. They, every day, they the preacher put tents in his 55-acre front yard, Reverend Price, and he said, sleep out here, do this, come to my house, and we're going to teach you about life.
Yeah.
That was giving me hope.
That gave you hope. Okay, 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. I want to go to Lamont, calling in from Maryland. What do you want to say? Lamont? Hello? Yeah.
Hey,
go right on.
I'm coming from Charles County. I just want to say that I think the kids these days, they're numb. They see everything that's going on television with the government and how things are corrupt, and they don't believe in tomorrow. I think we have to remove the kids from the television and change these programs and what these kids see, what these kids learn, and also I don't believe that it's a babies raising babies, because my mom was young when she had me. And I didn't, you know, I'm not out there shooting people, doing crazy things. And I do believe it takes a village to raise a child. But you know what? We have to go back to old school. We have
Thank you, Lamont. Keith, did you want to comment on what he had to say?
I think he makes a very good point. I mean, a lot of baby boomers and Generation X were brought into this world by teenage parents and mm-hmm. or young adult parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's the age of the parents. I do think that you have pockets of communities where there is hopelessness, where there is drug
addiction. That's the word that came to my mind.
Where there is drug addiction.
Hopelessness.
Right. There's drug addiction. There is lack of education. There is lack of prosperity. There's lack of jobs, and all of this. You have young people in these communities, and so they're brought up around this.
But when there was struggle back in the '60s and the '50s and the '70s, wasn't there hopelessness then, or was there not?
There may be hopelessness, but guns weren't as accessible
okay.
back then.
Okay.
Guns, you could get a gun anywhere. You might not be able to get a piece of a vegetable or a piece of fruit. But you can get a gun.
But also, there's
in certain areas of D.C.
It's been a glorification of guns. When I grew up, I had Bugs Bunny, the Jetsons, and then we got the Cosby Show, different world. And I went from toys to seeing people at Hillman and in Cosby and Howard University. It was like, man, I'm at Howard.
The
I can
possibilities.
See this. Possibilities.
Yeah.
But now your television, you got my child. I have to fight over him. The Grand Theft Auto, all this stuff. Guns, guns, guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And so if it's easy for me to kill something on a TV screen, what makes me stop wanting to kill something on the street?
Because that when I saw those four young men get out that car and start shooting, that's what came to my mind. This is a video game. It looked just
like a video game.
Oh
my goodness, it really did.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, and it has numbed these pockets of communities or people
Correct.
In these communities to think that this is okay
Correct.
To do.
And Hollywood is doing this. We don't create these video games. We just buy them.
We do. We are consumers. That indeed. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to bring Tina in on the discussion. Hello there, calling from North Carolina.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. What you got to say?
So I am a Howard University alum.
HU.
I've been teaching for about 6 years in public schools. I've taught in New York, Atlanta. I've also taught in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And I've just seen, in terms of public education, the central issue people like to say is the parents, the teachers, the media. What it comes down to is the state's dependence on federal money and budgeting. You have schools that are forced to buy into No Child Left Behind, the Common Core, in order to get money. You know, so when it comes to testing, kids being over-tested, that is how the schools can pay for teachers, pay for supplies. You know, if there were more ways that public education could survive and not be so dependent on federal money, then you wouldn't have such over-testing of kids. And I've seen this in both a public school and a charter school. So people can fucking blame.
And Tina, thank you for your comments, and thank you for, you know, being there on the front lines, helping young people learn. I want to get back to the Prince George's School question, because The frustration runs deep on so many mm-hmm. levels, from mm-hmm. the parents to
teachers.
The teachers, and the pay increase, the pay increases that the teachers say they need, and of course, issue of certified teachers and finding the right teachers, and how do we educate? I mean, I almost, as a resident of Prince George's County, I live in a county where I am paying for private school for my kids because I don't have good schools next door. My kids can't walk to school, and I have confidence in that school. I mean, what is it going to take to turn it around? I mean, we do have money in the county. Keith, you talked about the houses. Beautiful homes that could stand up right next to the homes in Fairfax County and elsewhere. We have the money in the county, as you saw from the compensation package, the parachute that was given to Kevin Maxwell as he walked out the door. We have money in this county. People have the desire for their kids to learn.
One of the most affluent counties of African Americans in the nation.
What is the problem? What is the solution here?
Luther Vandross told it best. A house is not a home unless whoever's in the home. And the problem is, I think, it's not about houses and money and wealth. We have to come from outside of our institution, be it mm-hmm. our home, the mega churches, and just like they do at Glen Arm, we just need to just talk and understand.
I'm tired of talking.
I disagree with that.
It's not working. Nothing's working.
What I see are elected officials who are doing just like you, Mo, sending their kids to private schools. It's not a priority to them because they can afford to send their kids.
But it's trouble in the private school. I've taught them.
If you had elected officials mm-hmm. who had their kids in public schools and focused on these public schools because their kids.
I agree.
But what's that's the shared think, suffering? What's going to change?
So we become more of a priority.
My child got beat last night. Well, that's going to make it better?
Well, the argument has been made that the so-called affluent parents who take their kids out, you're only left with parents or students who come from a certain economic background, and those parents or those students don't necessarily involve themselves as much. That's one argument.
Also, they can't involve themselves because they're working two jobs, they're trying to support these big houses in Prince George's, and they can't. If you had a strong, financially supportive PTA, a strong financially group of parents who could actually infuse money into these schools and say, look, we're going to send our kids to these schools if you do X, Y, and Z. I make $200,000 a year. I want my child to go to the school,
right.
And I'm going to see to it that this is a
but school. It's but not instead, just the building the and institution. Why is it other cultures can come to this country and they four people living in one house, and then all of a sudden everybody's an honor student? What is the difference between other cultures and what we're doing with ourselves? Do we put too much on institution? Do we put too much in the house and the money? Well, we don't even talk to each other because the man is in his man cave, and I know this conservative, and the woman's in her whatever her Florida room is, and the little kids are down in the basement doing gun show, whatever.
So there needs to be more of a centralized focus. Get back to the things, right?
The simple things. Just talk to me. Stress. How many kids are just stressed out? I coach football in Northwest. I've been there 19 years, and you know what we do? We feed them kids every Sunday, every Saturday, and do stuff. Kids just want to talk to somebody.
202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We're taking your phone calls tonight on a variety of topics. We still have to take on Trump. That's coming up. Cherie calling from Virginia. Did I say that right?
Yes.
All right. What do you want to say?
Well, this is my thing. I agree with everything that people said on there, but I do think a couple things. I think, number one, our kids have lost their way. For some reason, these black boys out here have lost their way. You can't blame the family. We have got to stop blaming ourselves at some point, because when you have a black president and everything else that goes with it, all the possibilities out there today, and they're still shooting up, they've lost their way. They're shooting kids like that in the street. But I want to bring this up really, really quickly. This may sound crazy, but in Israel, with all this stuff going on over there, when they have attacks, they've come to find out how to deal with that. When one person attacks an Israelite or whatever, they find that person's family, and that person's family pays the price. Either they're moved out of their home, they lose something. So we have to make even just, I'm not saying you got, they're totally.
I don't know if that's going to work in some of these communities where if you find the family, They may not have anything to pay. But that was an interesting observation that you made there.
It just seems like our children are being used as guinea pigs. We don't make Smith & Webbers. We can't make Uzis. We can't make all these guns. But they end up on our streets, and somewhere there's some data statistics. Let's introduce this to the marketplace. Let's see how quick they can kill each other then. It's almost like, you ever think about all the things we use to kill each other we don't produce in our own communities?
Yeah.
But we use them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Can we move on to another topic here? well, we want to move on to, let me see, do we have to take a break now and then we move on? Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with the release of the secret recording and the President Trump-Michael Cohen fight now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And we do welcome you back to the Daily Drums Insight segment here on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Malek Green, in for Harold Fisher. Our Reporters Roundtable continues talking tonight with Keith Alexander and Hamil Harris. And right now we want to take on the secret recording. It emerges, and it has, a secret audio recording of lawyer Michael Cohen speaking with then-presidential candidate Donald Trump about possibly paying to keep a Playboy Playmate story of an alleged affair with Trump under wraps. It was publicly aired for the first time Tuesday night on CNN. Here's a little teeny bit of that recording.
Funding, that, yes. And it's all the stuff. All the stuff. Because, you know, you never know where that company, you never know where he's going to be. Correct.
One of many recordings Cohen reportedly made between he and Donald Trump. What can we glean from this little bit that we heard here?
Well, one of the things that jumped out at a lot of people, including myself, is that Trump did not seem surprised by this payment. As he said, you know, in the past, he said he knew nothing about it, this payment, this alleged payment. But if you listen to the recording, he did not come across that he was surprised by this payment. That was the first thing that jumped out at a lot of people.
Yeah.
The second thing, you know, this morning, you know, Trump tweets out, you know, what kind of attorney, because obviously Cohen was Trump's attorney, what kind of attorney would secretly record a conversation with his client? And the obvious answer is the kind of attorney you would hire,
yeah,
Donald Trump, because obviously that was your attorney.
Exactly.
So that says a lot.
Yeah.
Those are things that really just jump out.
And the political violation, potential violation here of finance laws by trying to conceal the payments as you're running for the office of the president. I mean we're getting into more serious stuff here.
I mean, but the problem here, this is reality TV just going amok, because this is, to me, I'm watching every day one big reality TV show, and Trump is loving it. For the person who likes to call it fake news, some people say he's the fake president, because it's not about governance. It's not about decorum. It's about what's the latest titillating headline, and everybody's going for it. The thing that was so sad is when he went to the Veterans of Foreign War Convention, and he said, well, the fake news. And now you have a lot of reporters who really feel hurt and feel threatened, because people are getting killed in the Gazette newspaper in Annapolis. This is hurting people. People are dying because of this big reality show called President Trump. You know?
I want to get back to the fact that we have been talking about Donald Trump on a regular. I mean, the news cycle is never ending, and he is at the top of the list. And, there are so many stories in the news that we can talk about. His Hollywood star being destroyed by a pickaxe today, and they have someone in custody for that. He didn't have a great day in court when we're talking about the Trump Hotel and that particular issue, the lawsuit brought by the District of Columbia
in Maryland.
And state of Maryland. But what is very interesting is even the farmers, the American farmers who have been really hit hard by these tariffs and what Donald Trump has done and is continuing to do, his supporters are sticking beside him. They are solid as a rock.
You know, this I noticed this months ago. And I heard a woman from, I don't know if it was Kentucky, she was a President Trump supporter. And she said this, and it summed it all up. She said, unless I saw President Trump shoot someone.
They want to see the smoking gun.
And it wasn't in self-defense. She qualified all of this. I've got to see him shoot someone. That will be the only thing that will stop her from supporting him.
So his fake news claims have really struck a chord. I mean, they are working.
And see, what it is that there are those in the media historically who've had a sense of arrogance, a sense of entitlement. And what it is Trump is the champion of the ordinary guy, you know, the bubble.
But he's so not ordinary.
I know, but he talks in tones like, hey, I'm your guy. I'm the ordinary dude. And the little guy is loving it because they're watching a show. Yeah, stick it to him, Donald. Stick it to him. He's my guy.
Yeah,
but the problem is he's supposed to be a governing stuff, and not just being the entertainer that's going after the media. We have taken our country so far to another place that what's happening in Congress? Can't they even pass a bill?
As a journalist, and you guys have been in the game for a very long time in this business, you've seen and covered politics, both of you, just like I have. Mm-hmm. As a journalist, I mean, it is so very difficult to... It is so difficult to be a journalist covering anything related to Donald Trump, especially.
You know, just today, before we came in here and got on the air, the White House banned a CNN reporter
from a
president event because she asked a question that they didn't like. This just happened today.
It's unbelievable.
It's a dictatorship.
And
you know?
and it was amazing. Also, when you watch, you know, I cover crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with bodies and dead folk all the time. I couldn't cover politics. I don't think I have the energy, the tough skin. I'd rather deal with murderers and killers and rapists than seeing my colleagues having to fight and the disrespect that goes on in the press rooms and all of that. It is unprecedented that what we're seeing now journalistically. And what concerns me most is that how this is going to play out 5-10 years from now journalistically. I think the president
has been set.
Yeah, because
it's not just going to stop during the Donald Trump presidency.
Exactly.
The
president has now been set.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing about it, who's going to raise the – where are we going?
Yeah, I want to move on to, before we run out of time, I want to move on to the Georgia lawmaker. His resignation takes effect at the end of the month. Jason Spencer, who basically had to resign after making those racist comments in that Showtime TV skit. And we heard the recording at the beginning there. Do we need to play it again? Do you want me to refresh your memory?
Yeah.
Okay. Play it again, Bobby, and then I'll have Keith and Hamil comment. That's going to be DD14. Okay, I don't think we have the tape.
But
okay.
We know the point. I mean, he used the N-word 3 times. Again, this is like on Facebook when you poke somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He may have it now.
In America, there is one forbidden word. It is the N-word. Now, I am going to be the terrorist. You have 3 seconds to attract attention. Go!
Okay, and what you can't see is the video, the image of him. He had pulled his pants down. So he showed his butt, but...
But that was two different... Those are two different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The whole showing of his butt thing...
You saw the whole thing, huh, Keith?
Not trying to... Unfortunately,
why
my
is
eyes...
This news?
The whole showing of the butt was quote-unquote, you know, Islam and the whole homophobic... If I come at you as a gay man, you as a terrorist, you're going to run away from me because you're Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he pulled his pants down and said, okay, I'm going to come after you with my bare behind and you're going to run away. So then he called somebody a sand N-word. Mm-hmm. That's what he was using, sand N-word. He kept saying the sand N-word. It was amazing to watch an educated member of Georgia Congress acting like this with a writer.
That's why
but
it
somebody
is
somebody wrote that script.
Right.
But you had to think that script out to do that.
Somebody wrote, obviously, it's part of a TV show.
Sacha Baron Cohen on
Netflix.
Yeah,
it's part of a TV show. But he
Showtime,
fell for
Showtime.
It.
He fell for it.
And the bigger picture image of all of this is that a Georgia lawmaker, a person who is in public office to create laws, to represent the people, would be would go full out.
But again, it's the attraction of foolishness. Viral TV is mainstream. You remember when they first were beheading people?
But this wasn't about TV. He agreed to do this as part of a video that was going to be shown for a terrorist training video. It was a training video. It wasn't, they weren't doing this for television. He thought this was not going to be seen by the masses. This is only supposed to be seen as a training video.
So he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that still. Because he thought that nobody really in the masses would see it.
But the common thread is we have so much ignorance that's going international.
That is it.
Ignorance from the White House. Ignorance from the Georgia House. And it gets attention. Look how many millions of people are going to watch that. And that's supposed to be the new norm where the poor people from the networks, from the Post, ABC, we're fake news, but the real news is people mooning in the Russian accent or something. I mean, come on.
Oh, my God. Okay, so as we wrap up this edition of Reporters Roundtable, I want to get your thoughts on what we've talked about tonight, the topics that we've covered, the things that really stick out, where we are going, though, with this. Any topic that you want to pick out, from the Mykea Wilson funeral to the Prince George's School situation and others, and what our callers have said, what sticks out to you, and where are you going in your reporting on these issues?
You know, what sticks out, I mean, again, I cover crime, of course, so obviously I'm going to go there, is that I have seen street retaliation. I've seen street justice play out.
That's what you fear is going to happen here.
Yes, that's what I fear. We saw it in the whole the South Capitol Street shootings that occurred back in 2010, where seven individuals were standing on a street corner who just were mowed down by an Uzi because of street justice.
Mm-hmm.
The concern, and it's a right concern because we've seen it, is that these individuals will get caught up in revenge. People from that neighborhood will seek out revenge on these individuals, and again, and more innocent people will get caught up in it. That's what concerns me.
But you know what? My excitement is that we're on the campus of Howard University, and my brother Keith, Mr. Pulitzer Prize winning Keith, and Sister Molette, we're going to be journalists. We're going to be fired up. We're going to be focused. No Donald Trump or Moon Man in Georgia, whoever's going to rock us. And I think my calling is to be, unless this heart, next time, they better take my heart out. Because as long as I got a heart that beats, I'm going to stay being a journalist. And I'm going to stay focused. And to hell with those who stand in my way.
I didn't get to talk about this, but you brought it up twice, and So now I'm going to talk about it. Hamill Harris, I'm so happy to see you, and you look good. You suffered a heart attack recently.
That's right, baby. I told the devil, get back, Jack. I got to get back to the newsroom. Praise the Lord.
Because that passion is still there.
And we need you.
I'm always be part of the Washington Post. That's my brother, Keith.
Yeah,
Bring it on.
and one of my biggest, one of my biggest concerns is, as journalists, we will back down. We will shy away from telling the stories as they need to be told. And I'm so reinvigorated by hearing your commitment, both of you, committed to telling the stories the right way.
And you doing it, too, on television.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Doing
on television, on radio. I mean, she got all the jobs.
You got more jobs.
A journalist can't get a job in the city for Malek Green.
That's another topic for another show. I'm Malek Green, and for Harold Fisher tonight, thank you so much to Hamill Harris, Keith Alexander, and to our listeners and callers for joining us in this conversation this evening. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.